All right, so here we are live through the internet. Thanks to
this
BBS Radio for
being recorded.
I forgot about that, Vin.
Oh my God, I'll be your producer tonight.
So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. This is being recorded right now. My name is Gijs Minderhout. It is today October the 31st, Halloween 2016. Another night of information that is being provided by our dear friend, Win Free. Win, I greatly appreciate what you're doing. Here is the mic to you.
Thank you. Did you give the date, guys?
Yes, I did.
October 31st. Oh, yeah. It's Halloween, right? So, welcome, everybody. And I have a really interesting show tonight. You know what my show is, Hines? Did you see the emails?
Yes, I did.
You know, every so often, I shouldn't say you know. It's not good. Is my voice clear?
Good? It is, yes.
Every so often, we end up talking to somebody famous on the other side. They don't talk to me when they're on this side. They only talk to me when they're on the other side. And I don't like to emphasize it because it seems to be kind of, how would I say it? I don't want to defocus on that over our Elohim connection. But I think we've established our Elohim Ra connection pretty strongly. And there's things to learn from some of these conversations. I've learned from them. And what's that noise in the background, Heise? Do you know? Good, it's gone. All right. So, occasionally people put loved ones in the light who have passed on our Wednesday call, and Terry makes a comment about it, or from them. Sometimes she says they say hello. Sometimes they say that they're in some kind of process where they shouldn't be disturbed right now. Sometimes, you know, anything can happen. And I've observed this now for quite some time, and I think it's real. And Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
I just admitted.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Yeah. So, well, what's it feel like to you when somebody comes through on the other side? And something I should say is, from my observations of Terry, a good portion of her is on the other side. It's just there. And she has to struggle to be on this side. And I'm kind of a good anchor, so it gives her the freedom to go places where she is naturally. She has memories, and she's talked about this, of being, when you die, you end up, most people end up, I don't know if every single person, but most of the people we've dealt with end up in an astral place. And they're in a place where they're very aware of the earth realm. They can actually see it. And they tend to move around, and they can move around at the speed of thought to different locations on earth. Most of the ones we've talked to can move around. Apparently some just hang out in one place and become a ghost, or haunt a place, or hang around in the cemetery, or whatever. But they move around, and they particularly go places where they have energetic connections, like to people they loved, their children, whatever. And somehow or another, while they're roving around, they discover Terry. And they can, that becomes a point that they can connect with. And then Terry suddenly starts, they start talking to me through Terry. And I always start skeptically. I'm always thinking some reptilian is going to masquerade as somebody or this or that. And so I never jump and say, oh, my God, I'm talking to such and such. But I talk anyway and see what comes through, and I record it. And then I come to decide, do I really think it's that person? And in every case, I was convinced. You know, we've had, who have we had? The first time this happened was with Michael Jackson, right after he died. And I don't think I've ever played the tapes of those. And if you guys like this kind of show, I'll do it occasionally more, because we have a few audios of talking to Michael Jackson. We have Michael Jackson telling me how he wrote a song. He wrote songs. We have Terry singing one of Michael Jackson's songs, because I asked him, could Terry sing one of your songs? And then shortly thereafter, I told Daphne we were talking to Michael Jackson, and Daphne then next day said, oh, now Michael's talking to me. And through his conversations through Daphne, he said that he and I had a past life together, and I researched it. I convinced myself that we did, and it was really Michael Jackson. So someday we'll talk about that. And someday we'll talk about Robin Williams, how Robin Williams came through right after he died and started telling me cosmic jokes from the other side. And they were very good. And he was hanging on our call when we called in the light. And he said that when he heard me say, anything not of that nature must leave now. He said, I wonder if that means I'm supposed to leave. But then he told some better jokes after that. And then
some really good ones.
some really good ones, right. And then more recently, I think it was around in June, the CBS commentator for 60 Minutes, Morley Safer, who happened to be the longest-running commentator on television, came through. And I remember Jerry said, Safer's here. Safer. Safer? Who's Safer? I don't think I know his name.
Yes.
And I said, I said, Safer, well, what do you do? He says, well, I'm a newsman. And then he went off. And then we had about four more conversations with him. And finally, I told him, I said, why don't you interview me? And he said, why do you want me to interview you? Okay. So I said, it's not often that I can get such a famous guy to interview me for free. Right? And then he said, are you Jewish? But in any case, in any case, he did interview me, and he was very good. I noticed how good he was at keeping track of everything I said and would respond exactly to what I said in the past. See, a good interviewer makes it up as they go. I interview people sometimes, and, you know, you don't really just sound like you're got a bunch of questions that you're going to ask them. You relate to what they say, and then that goes to something else, and before you know it, it gets very creative. So he was doing that with me, and then he would go, dot, 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 dot. Is that what he did? Dot, 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 dot. He made the sound that 60 Minutes makes in between their pieces. Okay, here we go.
It's like... Something
yeah.
like that. The same song
yeah.
that 60 Minutes makes.
And
I didn't do it very well.
No, you didn't do it very well. I have to go listen to 60 Minutes and hear it.
Yeah.
And then I was telling him, why don't I contact 60 Minutes? This could be the breakthrough story of the decade. Story from Morley Schaefer on the other side. I actually talked to the producer of 60 Minutes, but then before we got any further, Morley kind of didn't come back anymore. Terry thinks he took another body. So, Terry, you know, when we're talking to these people, how does it feel to you? I mean, and why is it we just get famous people and we don't get ordinary Tom, Dicks, and Harrys coming through?
Well, for one thing, each person has a vibration. And if you're, like, you're alive and they're alive, like Morley Schaefer was on the air, and he was interviewing people and doing shows. And so he had a certain vibration that he put out. And so I could identify the person by the vibration. And also by I get their pictures too. I can see their pictures. I can
Did you know who Morley Schaefer was when he was talking to us?
I did. I didn't watch 60 Minutes very much, but I watched it enough to catch his vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to identify him. Mm-hmm. Now, when somebody puts somebody in the light that crossed over, like someone put Beverly in the light, the homeless person that had been murdered, and just from the connection of the person putting them in the light and their connection with the person, I'm often able to isolate the vibration, and particularly with the Elohim riding with me, they're able to oversee and see the vibration of that person and able to take a look at where that person's at.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's kind of like when we were first talking to the Elohim, and I asked them, I was trying to figure out, you know, how they could tune. I didn't know who they were, what they could do. I didn't know anything.
I didn't know either.
Yeah.
It took me a couple years to get to trust their answers, because, you'd ask a question and they'd answer, and I'd go silent, and I'd think to them, how do I know that's a correct answer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they said it three times, then I'd repeat it.
I mean, I remember when they first said they were Elohim, and I looked up the word Elohim on Google. It said one of the names for God in the Old Testament, the names the Mormons use for God. And my first thought in my mind is, you know, how when you have like somebody like Bob Dylan, a lot of people name their children Dylan. I said, this must be some discarnate entity that's just calling himself the Elohim. That's mm-hmm. my first thought. I didn't know what to make of it. And, you know, I've learned that Terry has the Elohim, you know, the whole universe is one energy. And then when we let them tune into our energy, they can then tune in to what our energy is tuned into. That's how it works. So when many of you have asked questions or put people in the light, they tune into the person through you. That's why our healing sessions are so important, because they tune in to the situations that we're putting in the light through ourselves, okay? So Terry has kind of really worked this. And, you know, when she listens to the news all the time, I get angry with her. You know, what are you wasting your time listening to the news for? And then she tells me, well, this is how I know what to pray, how to pray for situations. So she then tunes into the energy of those situations and works on...
anything that's out of balance, you know.
Things that are out of balance, right. It's amazing to watch it, you know. And it's amazing to watch that. I think it really works. And really, it's how prayer works. But no one has ever put it together. We think we're asking some Almighty Father figure, and on his good nature, he's going to do things or not do things. But in fact, this is how it works. This is why I've decided to do this 7 o'clock session after our calls, and I already put up a website and I set up a new number. We're going to start doing them every Monday night, and it's kind of going to be non-denominational. In other words, it's only 15 minutes, and I want to be able to invite people that never heard of us to come be part of our group intention. And I hope you guys will be there, because we have to hold the energy for the new people to pull them in. If I try to hold it myself, I don't know if I can or I can't. Maybe I can. But if I do it myself, I do know that it's a huge amount of psychic exertion on my part. It gets me very tired when there's new people on the line the first time. So this is an experiment, another experiment, to see if we can bring that energy in so other people can hear it without a lot of understanding at that point of what it is, and then maybe they'll be curious enough to investigate the rest of what we do and get the explanation for why it works. But in any case, what time is it? We got, let's see here. 6:20. I'm going to play, I think it's about a 27-minute section of one of our first conversations with Morley, and he even tells us who he would vote for if he was in a body, and you'll have to guess until you hear it, but I'm going to go, before I do that, I'm going to go dot, 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 dot. I'm going to do a news break here and just give one of them. Oh, that's it. I'm going to give a news break. And, we are living in such an amazing time. It is unbelievable. And I don't think I've ever paid attention to the news as much as I have now. I mean, we have Russia and the United States rattling sabers, real sabers about nuclear war. We have this incredible election going on. And if you're not keeping track of this, every day there's new things coming out about Hillary and less about Trump now than Hillary, but Hillary's emails and Hillary's assistant, Huma Abedin, or something like that, Abedin? Huma Abedin, that's her name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is, whose mother was the publisher of a terrorist magazine, a Muslim terrorist magazine, and she worked for the magazine where it was supporting all kinds of Muslim points of view, and she was married to a senator in New York who got in trouble for sending pictures of his private parts on Twitter to young girls. And so the FBI indicted him because they wanted to see his emails to young girls and found a lot of Hillary's emails on his computer, which was also unsecured. And our government is saying Russia has been the leak to WikiLeaks, and now this group called Anonymous says, no, they're the leak. And, you know, I got a very interesting email a couple days ago. Who sent it to me? I think it was Kathleen. And it talked about, and I had heard this, but some FBI agent who was not giving his name, and of course that means, in truth, there's no proof of this, but it sounds right. It makes sense that the Clinton Foundation is really the controversial thing about all of this, far more controversial than the emails. Because apparently, the Clinton Foundation, now I'm not saying there's proof of this, but it feels right, so you can think about it. The Clinton Foundation, which was moved to Canada, was not just working for Hillary, it was a money laundering foundation. So various members of politicians could get money from foreign sources to do them favors. And this is supposedly from an FBI agent that says, if this comes out in detail, it will bring our entire government down. Okay? So, this is the world we live in. And now, let me see here. What time is it here? It is 6:24, 54. We have, I got about a 27-minute audio to play. And if I start now, it'll be over 24, 34, 44, 54, which is just about the end of our show. But I think I'll take one more minute because we have that. The most important thing about all of this is getting the feeling of how it can feel when you die. Now, I'm not saying you're going to feel this way. I don't think Morley Safer was somebody that graduated. It's kind of like he really liked the high social life in New York City. And he and his wife were high echelon elite, the social elite, and liked to go to all the best restaurants. And, you know, he was at the very top of his game. And he wants to come back and have more of it, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to end up when he comes back. It depends on the movement of our planet through the next couple of years, whether it gets taken over and becomes, you know, over the next 30 years. There's a lot of questions hanging in the air of what's going to happen. But, you know, he was talking about how he was visiting his wife, and this is, we had a few conversations. This was the early, one of the early ones where we were just kind of getting used to each other. And he was trying to figure out why he was talking to Terry, okay? And who we were, okay? He discovered us. And somehow,
he had a big problem because Terry was at the top of his game. And all of a sudden, he found himself, he was still alive, and like he had 80,000 people or so that thought he was dead, and he was like, no, I'm not dead, I'm here, you know, give me another body, and I'm ready to go on assignment.
Yeah, he felt his audience. That was very interesting. He felt his audience and all the people that he connected with, and he was one of those people that connected vibrationally with other people in his audience. So here he is, Morley Safer.
And finally, talking about Morley Safer, and, you know, there's two things. There is the thought that crossed my mind that if he wanted to and we continued to have communication with him, it might be something to go to 60 Minutes about, and they might be impressed enough to do something on it. And there's a possibility there might be, and then it might put me in danger, or me and Terry in danger. And on the other hand, it might suddenly bring a million people looking at our work and having us being able to format it so it could be accessible to those people. And
there are a number of factors involved in this. One, Morley would truly like them to know that she is still alive. There is a big discrepancy between everyone thinking he is gone and him being alive. On the other hand, Morley is having a great deal of difficulty in how to relate to all of the people that have that loved him and were listening, and how to relate. He is still trying to work out how to relate to his new position, his new, and he is like a man with a wound that is withdrawn, or an animal with a wound, not an animal, but some animals, when they have a wound, they go and be alone until their wound heals. He has a large wound, and the wound is connected with all of those people. And because he dearly loves them, loves his audience, and it is a wound to not be able to be in touch with them, but to be in touch with them from the other side. He has like an animal with a wound, a large wound, attempting to contract until his wound heals.
Why is it, you know, every day there's hundreds of thousands of people dying, and, you know, there's a lot of people of the channel. Some people specialize in the channeling of deceased people. Why is it that Morley chose, if he did choose, if it was a choice, to connect with us?
There was an open channel. He was like a newscaster searching for a network to come in on, to broadcast on, to connect with. He was searching for a communication line, that would be open to what? Ever he put on the line, not something that would judge for him or would try to put words in his mouth. He sensed this was an open communication line. He was desperately searching for a line of communication, and he could tell this was a pure communication line that he could communicate his angst and his grief and his questions to. He sensed it like a broadcaster is out there, like he was out there searching for some network, some outlet, some program that he could connect through that would put him on pure.
I imagine he can read things. Being a newscaster, he was pretty good at reading people.
Yes, he was. He was very good at reading people and what he could trust and what he couldn't.
And when the first time he came in, I didn't even know who he was. I'm not out of watching TV. But
it didn't matter. He sensed the pure communication line.
But when I did look him up, I said, what a noble, high-intended, integrous person that was on the TV. And I didn't think there were any left. So it was delightful to find him, you know?
Yes.
And warmly radiating from his heart.
Yes.
To his,
yes,
his audience.
He is like a wounded animal now, seeking to lick his wounds and to know, to recover, to cover his grace and his abilities. And he is like a dead man, like somebody that...
he knows he's dead.
Yes.
And he's trying to piece it together.
Yes.
And saying, what does it mean to be dead?
Yes, how do I operate?
He's still treating it like a newsman. Right? Maybe there's a story here.
Yeah.
Marley, maybe on? There is a story. Maybe we're part of it.
Well,
we'll see.
Maybe, but the question is, how can I operate when the networks can't hear?
Mm-hmm.
The people can't hear. I mean, I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to tell you that you're coming through our channel, but you don't know us. And I
know that the communication is pure.
Right. But I am also a writer. I am also a lecturer. I am semi-known in this realm for my own explorations in dying. And I'm also a salesman. So it might be possible to record some of this stuff with you, and then maybe somebody in 60 Minutes would take it seriously enough to do a bit on it there.
It is possible. However, then there is, how much do you want to prod sleeping people before they come and get you?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question, you know? Am I taking a risk on it?
That is a potential.
I could keep myself anonymous and just put the story out and let you have a voice into your audience.
They can't get me here.
That's right. They can't get you. And if I'm anonymous, they can't get me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
I would like them to know. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the producer of 2020? Do you remember the people that you were working with there?
It was not 2020.
I mean, 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes.
Yeah.
It was Wallace. There was...
Mike Wallace?
Mm-hmm. Mike Wallace. There was CBS. There was someone in the... CBS, we didn't have a total good relationship, but he was good enough to put me on because of the ratings.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if I have the guy's name correct, there was a guy by the name of Jeff Glover. That sound familiar? And somebody by the name of Tedesco.
Mm. Tedesco was willing to take a chance with me. And if Tedesco wanted it to happen, Glover would go along.
They didn't censor you that much, did they?
Well, I presented to them, and either took it or
or didn't. Did you get more things taken than not?
Yeah, not everything got taken, but we got more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of them were out of bounds for them.
Mm-hmm. Should I tell you more about us? Ask us some questions.
Well, I just read the energy. And when I look, I can see that you're similar to Tedesco and maybe a little more open. I'm very concerned about my wife. I just...
Would you like us to try to contact her?
No, I've been trying. It's very personal. My daughter. They mean a lot to me. Not yet, not now.
Well, keep up a dialogue if you want to, okay? And
what you say is very interesting. Yeah, I will think about it.
Yeah. Do you know who George Norrie is, by any chance?
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring a bell? He has a late night radio show on paranormal. Do you make that motion that Terry's making now?
Yes.
This is Wynn Live. Make a side comment here. I edited this out. He asked me to edit it out. But I just say, he was not that fond of George Norrie. And so we just skipped to the next thing. Then the next thing that happened is Terry was making a repetitive motion with her hand, which was unusual. And that's what I'm referring to next.
Yes.
I thought so. It's not one of her normal motions. Terry is tapping her hands against her side, like she's pondering something deeply about the negative and the positive in this realm. And
we have investigated it.
If you're on TV, if you've been on TV, you must have had some association with the negative that attempts to control the media. So,
yes, they move in like a blanket.
Yeah. And control patterns from that. Mm. Do you feel lonely where you are now?
No, just would attempting to heal the heartache of the loss of the people, the connection, the ability to get out through whatever channels are open to get out, like a water stream that's constricted, but at least to get out.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can share with us that you would know that's not public information or embarrassing to anyone that would make people believe that you're really, we're really talking to you?
Well, the election is pretty interesting. Breakthrough of energy with Trump. Just in general, there are areas they do not allow to be spoken of. But we do not speak of them right now. But somehow my mind goes to them because the public has been shut off from information. We get out what we can.
Who would you vote for if you were in a body ready to vote?
Probably Trump.
But actually, you didn't answer my question exactly. When I said, can you give any information, can you remember things that would tend to convince someone that you're really you, okay? One of the things in this realm is that a huge amount of people don't believe this is possible, and that someone from the other side, they may not even be another side. And so, like, is there an bit of information, like, for example, a phone number or your boss's favorite lunch or restaurant or something that, you know?
We do not like this line of questioning.
Okay.
We were thinking of... the other of stories that were turned down, but it's like we do not we have a hard time thinking we have to prove. I have to prove I'm here. I just did not like this line of questioning.
Well, okay, you don't have to do it. I'm just asking. And maybe it's good not to prove it. Maybe it's good to leave it as a question mark. You know? I don't know. I'm just...
Makes you feel uncomfortable.
You remember the stories that were turned down? Forget it. We'll move on.
Yes.
I feel your energy though.
Yes.
And it's really, really loving and radiating down on us.
Yes. Yes. We have a problem with relating to stories that were turned down because they were turned down with such animosity. Look, information about the Kennedy assassination, like it's like slamming down of the fist or the book on the table. It's like, do not go there. That is all.
Well, is there anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Well, I like this channel of communication here. Thank you for contacting me. Thank you for your help with increasing my energy to be able to respond, to be able to operate to some degree in this Netherland.
Mm-hmm. Have you run into any other angels or other people there? Or are you just in your own little bubble?
I am in my own little bubble, staying near my family.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know who the Elohim are?
I've heard of the Elohim.
I mean, if you know, when you first came in and before we were talking to you, we were talking to them.
That's quite a story.
It is quite a story. And the Elohim, I'll just tell you something about the way the universe works, okay? You know, I'm sure you're aware of religion and belief patterns and all that stuff, but the Elohim actually exists, and they're in a higher dimension than you or me, and they're a group. They're not one being, and according to what they've told me, they existed before there was a physical universe. They were energy forms, and they created the universe. And then it got out of hand, and it got a little bit negative. So they kind of stand by to try to help. And somebody has to ask them to get their help, but most people don't know they exist. And some people, when they feel them, they think it's God. And of course, they're part of God, just as we're part of God, but they're a bigger part. And so they're watching this whole session between you and I. And you came in when we were talking to them, actually.
There's another whole faction I see, another whole thing that in a larger, even larger, that encompasses them. And I see that they're operating some like family members, there is a whole, what would be the word, God force. I see a whole God force that is even higher than the Elohim, and is a cover.
A cover?
Comfort.
Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to share all that to give you some reference as to who we are and what we do and how we do it.
You are very interesting.
I'm interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Edgar Cayce? You must have run into the story of Edgar Cayce, yes?
Yes.
I wrote a book that proved Edgar Cayce reincarnated.
Okay.
I learned a lot of stuff about reincarnation that no one else knows. I wish you were still a newscaster, because it would be interesting to put it on.
I am still a newscaster.
You're a newscaster?
It is not that hard, not that easy to get rid of the occupation. Just because one crosses over.
Well, you know,
it is in my blood, which was.
You can be a newscaster from the other side, and we can help get it through. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Huh?
A column.
Morley from the other side.
Morley from the other side.
That would be interesting, huh?
The God story.
Well, I'll tell you what, formulate your story, and next time we talk, we'll record it, and maybe we'll see if somebody will put it out.
Oh.
How's that?
All right. I need to attend to my wife. She is very sad. But I have this in mind. Thank you.
Okay. You don't have an evening, so you just be well.
How do you know I don't have an evening?
Is there an evening up there?
If she has an evening, I have an evening.
Oh, I see. You're connecting with her, huh?
Yes.
Does she feel you? Does she know you're there?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if you ever want me to get some words to her, I'll do my best to do it.
Not now.
You remember your email? Or her email?
Mm-hmm. Morley@cbs.com or something.
Uh-huh.
Something.
You remember your wife's address? Did you have a home in Connecticut?
Don't ask so many questions in a row.
Okay. I see I'm not a good newscaster.
You need to put time between your questions.
Do you remember your address?
Maybe. There's enough to ponder here.
Enough to ponder?
Yeah, there's enough to ponder here right now.
Okay. Well, ponder away.
Yes.
And
we'll... Thank you for the huggy.
You're welcome. We bid you adieu.
Okay, that was it. This is Wynn Live. And, hey, I'm just curious. Gary, we're going to do our meditation at 7. BBS is going to cut us off any minute. So if any of you are on the phone or on the internet and want to come in on our calling in of the light and planetary healing session, dial in to 641-715-3655. 641-715-3655. And the PIN number is 172-746. 172-746. Let's just hang out. We're going to just hang out on the phone line for 15 minutes and go into the other session. I think what's going to happen in the future is we're going to set up a separate phone number for the 7 o'clock sessions and that put those out to the world and keep them separate from our conference thing. And so, but we can all just jump numbers and show up on the other number so that, you know, the idea is that we have become connected to each other, those of us who are on our calls regularly. And if a bunch of new people are on the call, they can either address them particularly or they feel like, they don't understand our language. They don't understand what we're talking about. So the meditation calls are going to be kind of non-denominational. Not that we're a denomination, but try to avoid using the lingo that we have become familiar with. Well, we can talk about it and it makes sense to us, but it wouldn't make sense to a new person. And the experiment here is, can we hold the energy so somebody new coming into that can feel the energy? Can we make it? And then the people that feel it will keep coming back, and I would imagine they'll become curious about where the heck we came from. So I haven't announced it yet. We're still on digging the trenches on it. And I'm going to open up the lines. And remember, if you're on VBS, you can call in if you want to participate in the meditation or the grid healing at 641-715-3655 at 591-322. And